Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today for the second time, Rhonda Lynn Korolak. Hello to you.
Hello.
Rhonda Lynn, great to have you on the show. We've had you on before. We talked about pricing value. Today, we're going to talk about advisory. For the benefit of people listening, just remind us a little bit about your background and your expertise.
Well, I started off as a chartered accountant. I worked for PwC doing oil and gas tax, and I also was a qualified lawyer. So prior to immigrating from Canada to Australia, I had never worked with small businesses before. So now I'm primarily dealing with accountants that work with smaller businesses. So it's been a really great transition for me.
We're going to talk about advisory today. And let's just start with the term trusted advisor, because it's talked about a lot. We had Ron Baker on the show recently. He's not a lover of the phrase because he says only your clients can call you that. You can't own that for yourself. What's a trusted advisor in the Rhonda Lynn Korolak Dictionary of Life and Business?
Yeah, look, it's a trigger word, right? It triggers a lot of people, and that's why it doesn't resonate with everyone. And so, to my way of thinking is this: if you're doing all the work, you're not an advisor. So what advisory is really about, it's about having conversations with your clients that allow you to get leverage on them and which inspire or influencing them to take action and step up in their own business. That to me is advisory. So it's quite a broad definition. And if people going around calling themselves an advisor, it's a bit wanky, right? It's like calling yourself a guru or an expert. If you're calling yourself that, you're probably not, right?
And what does leverage mean?
Leverage to me is understanding what the cost is to someone of them continuing to ignore the situation or the problem that they've come to you with. So it's basically like saying, you know, somebody comes to you and they need help with X. It's like, what does it cost this person not to have a solution? That's leverage.
Yeah. And leverage is a mechanism to price more effectively, presumably.
It's a mechanism to do everything, because if you don't have leverage, you're basically still controlling the relationship. You can't collaborate with people. You can't actually get your client to do any work because they don't have accountability in the whole thing. It's still all on your shoulders, which is why my definition is quite broad. If you're still doing all the work, it can't possibly be advisory, which is why I disagree with people saying that, you know, a dashboard is advisory. It isn't. It's simply a tool.
But the problem many accountants have with advisory is the selling side of it, because you start doing advisory, it needs selling, doesn't it? Accountants are often not good at selling themselves, let alone an extra product or service.
Look, accountants couldn't sell their way out of a wet paper bag. Right? We are accountants because that is within our nature. If we were meant to be top salespeople, we'd be doing that for a living and not doing accounting. Here's the thing. I don't actually agree with the school of thought that says you need to be a fantastic salesperson. When I work with an accounting firm or an accountant, a sole practitioner, and I try to help them to move into what some may call the realms of advice, it could be impact, it could be coaching, whatever you want to call it. My focus is on influence and leverage, not selling. I never, ever teach accountants how to sell, because they don't actually need to know how to do that. If they were better at creating value and impact for their clients, they'd have all the clients in the world, because the clients that they have would tell everybody and their dog how fantastic their accountant is. So selling is not the answer. Impact and value are the answer.
Yeah. And you might also say outcome and results, relief from pain.
Perfect. Yeah. They're all kind of synonymous for the same types of concepts, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have to use advisor. We should never use sales, because it isn't about selling. I mean, I sometimes give this example because people say, you know, I couldn't possibly do that because people might think I'm selling to them. I go, hold on a second. Just imagine for a moment that you have some medical training. Maybe you were a nurse, or, you know, you know a little bit about CPR or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're standing on the street minding your own business, and someone comes running up to you and they're bleeding profusely. Nobody in their right mind would ever say, oh my gosh, I can't possibly help this person or call an ambulance or give them CPR because they might think I'm selling my medical training. Nobody would say that, right? Because the person is bleeding profusely and they're going to die if you don't put them in the recovery position and apply tourniquets and try to stop the bleeding and all this stuff, right? Guess what? Your clients are bleeding profusely every single day because they don't have solutions to the problems that are keeping them up at night. And so if we don't help them by providing those solutions, we're not doing our jobs. That's nothing to do with selling. It's you using your powers for good, right?
Yeah. So what differentiates an accountant from an advisor?
Lots of stuff. I mean, at its core, how I see it is basically just a whole bunch of skills, right? So I came up with this model. It's called the shift coaching model. And around the model, there are five strategies. But integral to these five strategies is like 25 skills. And why I use the skills is this. Unfortunately, we as accountants have been trained at school and on the job to be a particular way. We actually get rewarded for accuracy. We don't know how to manage uncertainty. The skills that we need to become this advisor, coach, whatever you want to call it, are the polar opposite of the skills that we've perfected to become accountants.
Right.
So it's about just retraining ourselves. We don't have to learn sales. Sales is not a skill. You will note when you look at my model, sales is not a skill at all. It's all about things like control versus collaboration, or this sort of black and white thinking versus shades of gray. It's about retraining the way that we approach stuff. I mean, we're very transactionally based as accountants, but the client only cares about growth. They don't care about the transaction stuff. They just want to grow their business. And so we have to actually stop being accountants and start thinking like business owners, really, at the crux of it.
So be more entrepreneurial.
Yes.
That's difficult for an accountant, though. They are wired a certain way, aren't they?
Yes and no. I mean, I did an article a couple of years ago for Accountex where I talk about rewiring your brain to think like an advisor.
Mm.
And what we know from neuroscience and neuroplasticity is this. The brain of an accountant operates very, very differently than someone who is entrepreneurial and has good advisory skills. Because a person who has entrepreneurial and advisory skills is actually using both hemispheres of their brain at the same time. And so there are exercises and things that we, you know, can do to try to transition and try to develop these skills within ourselves. We're not born one way or the next. We can actually learn these skills. We can retrain the way that we think and perform.
And how important is it that accountants do this? Is compliance the burning platform that everyone thinks?
Regardless of whether it's on fire or not, the truth of it is that it's harder and harder to make the same amount of money that you did last year. And that's the big thing. I mean, there's tons of different studies all over the world that are saying the same thing. The margins are just being squeezed. Mm. Basically, what's happening is we as accountants are providing the same or more value for less money every year. So we're stepping it up and we're doing more things and helping them with apps and doing all the stuff in their business, but we're getting paid the same or less for all this extra effort. And we have to flip that. We have to say, okay, we'll stop here. Wait a second. Maybe what it means to be accountant just isn't the same as what it was 20 years ago. Maybe we need to change our definition of what it means to be an accountant. Maybe we need to start graduating people from university with skills for a job that doesn't even exist anymore.
Mm.
We need to think about that, right?
You mentioned apps there. It's an overwhelming ecosystem of apps, isn't it? Supposedly there to help the accountant, but sometimes it can hinder because there's an overwhelming choice there. Talk a little bit about the tech out there that supposedly helps accountants with advisory.
Well, look, app fatigue is a real thing, right? Everybody is sending in this message to the accountant. Try my app, review my app, sell my app. It just goes on and on. And you look and there's like, you know, even in the advisory, like the business intelligence space, if you want to call it that, there's like 45 different apps. Which one do you use?
Yeah.
Because they all kind of do the similar types of stuff, right? But here's the thing. First of all, number one, everybody's still out there trying to be all things to all people. Nobody's got the guts to niche down and say, you know what? I only work with churches. You know, I've got one accountant here that only works with churches now, or I only work with chemists or doctors or whatever it is. If you niche down into something that was a bit more narrow, well, you could become a very knowledgeable expert about all of the apps that relate to that particular industry or area of expertise very, very quickly. But if you want to kind of solve the problems of every business owner, you've got, I think there was 800 apps in the ecosystem last year, and it's almost doubling every single year. Mm. We've got all this going on. And the other thing about apps is that I think that in some ways we're kind of a little bit seduced by them, because at the end of the day, if you're doing advisory and all you're doing is selling reports, you're not really doing advisory, because all you're doing is selling a report. At the end of the day, the client only cares about the result. So I think we should be getting paid for holding the hand of the client and stepping them through and helping them circumnavigate all of the minefields that they're running through in their business to try to get from where they are to where they want to be. And the apps may help to lay roadmaps and re-pathway some different things and do some what-if analysis, but the app itself is not the advisory. The advisory is you enabling them to ask better questions, make better decisions, and step up as leaders. That's the advisory piece.
Accountants find it hard to sell the dashboards and the reports, don't they? Because it's not that where the value lies.
Yeah, it's like basically saying to somebody who's thirsty, would you like some salt? Well, you know, salt may be of value to you if it's on the rim of a margarita,
right. But
it's not very valuable if it isn't. And this is the thing. They're out there trying to sell all these reports. I'm thinking, are you crazy? You use those as tools to help educate yourself and help you formulate some ideas and pathways in your brain. And then you take that knowledge out to your client and get them asking questions and get them brainstorming and making decisions. That's the advisory piece. You get paid for that, not for the dashboards and apps are worth pennies. They're like a tiny little drop in the bucket of what advisory, the potential is really for us.
Yeah. Do you think there's a responsibility on the tech industry, if you like, to educate accountants a lot better or be more ethical, if you like, in selling these things?
I don't really think so, because you can't really legislate that kind of stuff. And also the apps are the least qualified people to do it, because a lot of these app companies are run by tech people, right? Coders.
Right.
And people who may not even be accountants by trade. And so they may not know our clients and us as well as they need to in order to be making calls like that. It's incumbent upon us to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
All the selling in the world is only going to make accountants feel dirty, right? Because accountants have this thing in their head, and they all do. You hear it when you go to the conferences. They associate that selling with that pushy salesman or the used car salesman type of mentality. And no accountant aspires to that. But accountants are really fantastic at helping. They're very generous and giving kind of people by nature. They're helpful. They want people to do better in their business. So coaching isn't that far of a stretch from accounting, right? Selling is, but coaching isn't. And so my advocation is towards teach people how to coach. And from there, you will get referrals. And that's how you will grow your business.
So what about the accountants that say, you know, I'm giving my clients these reports, I'm communicating the value, but they're not taking action. I feel like I'm telling them the same thing every time and nothing happens.
Yep. They don't have leverage. Right? It all comes down to leverage. When I first started doing coaching, I was doing cash flow coaching. And this, forgive me, but this was before cloud accounting. So there was no apps. So I was going out with Excel spreadsheets and stuff like this. And I would say, well, according to my report, it takes you 92 days to collect your debt. And they would all look at me and nod their heads. And everybody agreed it was terrible, but no one took action because they didn't understand the cost. Then one day I showed up and I said, hey, I did some calculations. Based on the size of your business, because it wasn't a small business, it was like a $25 million a year. They are doing electrical contracting for big home builders. So it wasn't a small business. Because of them collecting $2 million of receivables they were running month on month at 92 days to collect, I summed up all the figures and I ascertained that they may be wasting $234,000 a year in credit cards that weren't being paid off on time, factoring, lost opportunity costs of things that they couldn't take up because they didn't have the cash flow to do them, yada, 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 yada. So as soon as I went in there and said, look, this is my calculations. You two just bought boats this year and you've got houses that aren't paid off. You could have paid off your houses or paid the boats in full if you hadn't wasted this $234,000. I immediately had their attention. Because before they weren't listening to me, before they didn't care what I said, because it didn't mean anything to them. It was like I was talking Greek and they were speaking Japanese. It was a complete disconnect. Whereas when I went in there and said, okay, I need some leverage here. I needed to figure out, hey, they've got boats. They're wasting this money. Let's get some leverage. And as soon as I had that, they fixed the problem within 60 days.
Yeah.
100%. They were not using factoring anymore at all. That is a monumental turnaround.
So are all accountants cut out to be advisors?
Well, you're not born an advisor. I said before that according to neuroscience and what we know from neuroplasticity, you can learn these skills. These are not skills that are beyond the grasp of anyone. So if you're currently qualified as an accountant or you're just graduating, you have the potential to learn each and every one of these skills.
It's not a personality type.
It has nothing to do with personality. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like being an advisor is about how you engage your brain and how you work with people to help them uncover the answers. Like, I think a lot of people have this misconception that when you become this trusted advisor, like way up on the mountaintop, that you're going to have all the answers. Guess what? You're not.
No.
And you're not meant to. That's not the point. The point is that you're supposed to help them find their answers. And so to do that, you have to be better at asking questions and trying to connect the dots and figure out, okay, my client's got this problem. Who else do I know that could shed some light here or could provide value in? That might be an app. It might be as simple as, you know, what the guys I was coaching, they didn't even have a buy-sell agreement or key man insurance in their business. So I'm not licensed to practice anymore because I don't practice as a lawyer. I do coaching, but I knew that that was an issue. And I knew that I had to bring a lawyer in and get that stuff papered because if somebody was to die in that partnership, there was going to be some problems, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's widow was going to have their hand out looking for money that didn't exist because nothing was in place to transition that business. Did they come to me with that issue? No, because they didn't even know they had the issue.
Yeah.
So I was digging for cash flow. And then they were saying, oh, by the way, we've got wives and young children. And one of our partners is much older than we are. And he is a candidate for a heart attack. Well, ding, ding, ding. That's how it came about, right?
Yeah. So what are the initial steps for an accountant to move into that trusted advisor role?
I think the initial step is to sit down and start mapping out where you are versus, you know, where you want to be at. So you've got to have some kind of pathway in your mind. Why are you doing it? What do you think it looks like? What are you hoping to achieve by this whole thing? You know, one of the biggest things I see is that everybody wants to become an advisor. But at the end of the day, one of your jobs is going to be helping your client figure out what the path is between A and B. So if you don't know the path between A and B in your own firm, if you don't have a clear goal and a 12-month roadmap and you know exactly what's going on and how you're going to get there, how in the world are you going to do that for someone else? It's kind of like I don't know if you guys have this saying in the UK or not, but it's like the cobbler, the shoemaker whose kids don't have shoes, right?
Yeah.
Like we must learn and master these skills ourselves before we can earn the right to sell that as a service or work on it with our clients.
So
the road job number one.
Let's talk about that just for a moment as we draw to a close. A lot of accountants are interested in doing advisor, but they're fighting against culture, against leadership, against traditional ways of doing things, against billable hours and timesheets. So how do they sell that internally?
Look, I think success sells itself, right? So when we change ourselves and the way that we approach the relationship with our client, how we talk to them, what we ask them, what we do for them, we change that first. We change ourselves first. You can't, you know, go up against the mountain. You know, I came from the PwC background. If I was in there now, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to try to sell this thing to the partners that get remunerated based on old-fashioned legacy systems that aren't conducive to pricing value. So I think you've got to start with yourself, start with your own clients. And from there, you will start to have influence over the rest of the firm, no matter how big the firm is. When someone is successful and they're actually achieving results, other people pay attention.
Mm.
Change yourself. Don't try to sell others. Change yourself. You can have an influence.
And we talked about apps here. Do you rate some of the advisory apps to give accountants a framework to start having these conversations?
Well, I don't think of them as advisory apps. They're just tools.
Yeah.
It's no different to me than a Xero or MYOB or Sage or QuickBooks. They're just tools, right? So however you like to slice and dice your reports to get KPIs and cash flow, you know, Bob's your uncle, right? But the way that I look at it is this: 93% or more of our clients that we talk to every single day are financially illiterate. These people can't read dashboards or KPIs. And the part of the brain that makes decisions and actually takes action, so those parts of your brain are automated structures. They can't even read numbers or words. So if you want to move a layperson, SME, to change their business, you cannot rely on a dashboard. That is the absolute wrong thing you could be doing because they can't read that stuff. They don't know what to do with it. You actually need to get better at storytelling. I would invest some time in reading a few books and spending some time figuring out How do you get better at telling stories with your clients and using visual depictions to teach people how to fix stuff in their business and stop trying to sell accounting, whether that's a dashboard or even just teaching them accounting? I think that's a huge step. I wrote Financial Foreplay back in 2010 for that sole purpose, for finding storytelling as a mechanism to teach cash flow to anyone. So I believe if you can make cash flow so simple in storytelling that a six-year-old could understand it, you will have enormous impact on the lives of every client that you work with.
Yeah.
And you don't need a bloody dashboard for that.
No, that's very good. How important is the accountant's role in holding the client accountable for taking action? Does their responsibility stop at giving the advice?
No, the accountability, that's our new job. It's about how do we move from accounting to accountability? That is the advisory piece. That's what we should be getting paid for. You know, I think I said it before. Let's not focus on getting paid for selling the tools and the apps. Let's get focused on how we sell circumnavigation and guidance and support and being the devil's advocate and brainstorming and bringing in other solutions, basically holding their hand and kicking them up the butt. I always say there's a reason I wear stilettos, because sometimes you got to give people a kick, right? You got to give them a kick and say, no, you said you were going to achieve this and you haven't achieved it and you're not leaving today until you have achieved it. That's our role.
We don't need to be an accountant then, do we? We can use business advisors and business coaches to do all of this. We don't need double entry bookkeeping anymore.
We should be that. Right? It confounds me how all these business coaching firms exist out there. And I've worked in one of them. And one of the things I will say that this is they're not run by accountants. A lot of those coaches are leadership and sales and marketing experts. They can't read financial statements either. But they're out there right now charging $2,000 a month doing business coaching that you should be getting that work. But in order to actually earn the right to get that work, you actually have to get better at learning stuff about pricing, right? Because your client doesn't just have financial questions. They have questions about their pricing, about loyalty programs. How do they attract and retain better clients? Guess what? You, Mr. Accountant or Miss Accountant, you're not qualified to give advice on that stuff. So we have to learn. I went out and trained myself. I went out and took courses and learned and learned and learned until I was in a position where I could add value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I can charge what I charge.
But accountants have the ultimate responsibility, don't they, to help businesses out there, because no one else is qualified uniquely to do this role.
I think so. I had two choices, right? Because I think I told you I was out in the industry being a business coach. And I came to the point where I thought, either I'm going to have to find a way to teach these business coaches who aren't financially astute how to really understand cash flow and working capital, or I'm going to go back to my own industry, which is accounting, and teach accountants how to coach. And I chose the latter because I actually think that it is really hard to teach non-financially literate people accounting, but it's not as hard to take an accountant and teach them how to coach, because the skills that I want to share and that I want to help you to grow your practice, they're not difficult skills.
Yeah. Rhondalyn, this is terrific. If people want to find out more about the great stuff that you do, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, look, the easiest is to type my name into any social media platform. There's not too many Rhondalyns out there, so it'll all be easy. And if you want to know more about working with me in a coaching capacity or using my app, that it has all of our coaching built in to teach you how to become an advisor, go to busnest.com. So it's BUSINEST.com.
And what kind of things do you do with your clients when you're coaching them?
So from an accounting perspective, what we do is I provide a step-by-step methodology every month. So we've got our own learning management system. And so I get on there in videos, articles, webinars, and I actually provide the structure around how do you learn all of these strategies and soft skills, and how do you transition into advisory over the long haul? And there's no set locked in time, because to me, it's about learning forever. It's about continuous improvement. I still get mentoring and coaching. I've spent time with, you know, Ron Baker, people like that. Like, I search out who's the best at what they do, and I get that person to teach me. And that's how I learn. And so I pass that learning on to all of the accountants on our platform.
And presumably you work with accountants all over the world.
Yep. It's a little bit harder for me sometimes on the East Coast of America just because of the time zones, but the UK, the West Coast of America, and quite a bit in Canada, because that's where I'm from. So I have a lot of contacts back there still.
This is great, Rhondalyn. Would you leave us with a one piece of advice for the accountants listening that really want to embrace advisory but are struggling to take that first step?
Look, I think the the biggest piece of advice is you do not have to know all the answers before you start, right? So when you're going to drive from Sydney to Melbourne, or in your case, you
London, know, London to Birmingham.
You don't actually have to see Birmingham from London, right? You don't need to see the end destination before you get in the car and you start driving. You only need to see 50 meters in front of your car. And it's the same with advisory. You need to get started and you don't need to see the end. You don't need to have all the answers or solutions to start, but and try to get some support as well. So get started, get doing something, moving, but get some support, because it is hard. It is hard to change habits. And having somebody else to bounce things off or give you the, you know, stiletto when you need it comes in handy, because we let ourselves off the hook. We eat that extra piece of cake and don't worry about the calories and all those things because no one's keeping us accountable. But that's what your coach does.
Yeah, that's a really good point. In the Business Development Academy, we know that in training accountants to win workers, we do, they will hit a wall, they'll get stuck. And they need that guide, that mentor to get them past that and carrying on.
Yeah, look, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is you're going to hit that level of perturbation before you get over the hump and learn and grow. And so we need to push people through that. It's the equivalent of that Tony Robbins firewalking stuff, right? Like we're there to get people past their stinking thinking.
Yeah. Bundling Korolec, that's been superb. Thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.